Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On tomorrow's show, we are going to do an in-depth breakdown of the Bears roster with our buddy Michael Felder of Stadium. If you haven't heard him, you got to be here, because this guy watches tape and he has a really good understanding of roster construction, strategy, scheme, like all of that. So I'm going to ask him some questions, including the million-dollar question. Is Matt Patricia going to play man with no blitzing on Sunday like he usually does? McNeil and Parkins have got you from 2 o'clock until 6, and they're here with me right now. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Lawrence.
What's up, Lawrence?
Let's do roster chatter right now. I got a question or two for you, if I may.
Sure.
Kevin Tolliver released by the Bears, and they were kind of high on him as a corner. I guess the good news is Jalen Johnson, the second-round pick, has impressed, will start Sunday, so we shouldn't be concerned. Do you feel good about – I'm thinking about corner today because of all that money Jalen Ramsey got, and I meant to run this by Hub yesterday, but we were knee-deep in another Mitch session, and we've got more Mitch session coming today. But I guess that's good. You feel good about the Bears at corner? It's an important position in this here NFL.
Well, I love the Jalen Johnson pick because of the defense that he played in at Utah, where they asked him routinely to take on the best receiver of the other team and lock him down. Like, they were doing a lot of man stuff, and part of the reason that they felt comfortable doing that is because of him. So I'm, as long as his shoulder's good to go, I'm more than cool with the way that their cornerbacks look. If he's healthy enough that they expect for him to come in and play right away. It was always the plan for him to be a starter. It was just a matter of whether or not he was going to be medically ready to go. And they think that they've got the slot covered with Buster Screen. They're very comfortable with him in the corner. I didn't think that he played terrible. I thought he was better than average last year. And he didn't have as many penalties as kind of what he's been used to throughout his career. But I'm more excited to see Jalen Johnson than I am Cole Kmet.
Okay. We spend so little time talking about their defense because I think we all assume it's going to be fine. They've got some studs on that unit, and we always want to talk about the offense because it's such a huge question mark. What's your biggest concern, positionally speaking, for the Bears defensively?
I think that they miss Eddie Goldman more than they would like to admit. And I worry about that. Now, look, when you've got Mufasa in the middle of that defensive line, he's going to be disruptive and make plays. And that triumvirate of him and Quinn and Mack, I think, should be terrifying. But Goldman did a lot of dirty work, and I'm not sure that the guys, the group that's going to rotate and replace him, even as a group, is as good as he is on his own. And I know that he didn't play all of the snaps last year, but I think that he will be missed. As far as the defense goes, that's my concern. I mean, Roquan, to me, is a fascinating player who still has even more that he can do, and I think that he's been pretty good so far in his first couple of seasons. I love Danny Trevathan. So I think that just seeing what impact Goldman not being your nose is going to have on this bunch.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Danny, what about you? Where's your – because I don't think we've talked about this.
We haven't. I mean, I
I'm with Lawrence in that I think Eddie Goldman is just the always overlooked player of the Bears defense. Like, that's a really tough opt-out for this team, and he's just not going to be the guy who fills up the stat sheet, and he makes guys around him better. So without him, other people will have to step up. But there is so much complementary strength in the front seven, and with Akeem Hicks back, like, talk about a guy who makes people around you better. Like, you're not going to be relying on Roy Robertson-Harris and Bilal Nichols in the same way that you were last year when Hicks wasn't out, because Hicks is there. I go to the back four. I love the Jalon Johnson pick. He was one of two guys that I mentioned after the first round on the show and on Twitter that I was hoping the Bears were going to get. I agree with you. Like, he fits the scheme. He's still a rookie corner in the easiest time in the history of the NFL to pass the football. He's going to get targeted a lot. And Tashawn Gibson, Deion Bush, Buster Screen, Sherrick McManus, Duke Shelley, like, outside of Eddie Jackson and Kyle Fuller, it's very young and very unproven. I know Tashawn Gibson's a veteran, but in terms of the backups there, it's just not – there's not a lot of proven skins on the wall. So – oftentimes, you need to have four corners on the field. So, to me, it's the back four of the defense that I'm most concerned about.
Bears. Oh, I love it. That
wait,
it's
wait,
almost
wait.
Here. Yeah.
Mac, answer your own question.
Both of you guys have good answers. For me, it's depth inside. Absolutely. Because Bilal Nichols is a good player, but when forced to play a lot last year, he kind of went away. That is a concern to me. And also depth in the secondary. I want, you know, and as a group, start taking away the football wherever you're at. But positionally speaking, I would have to go defensive tackle is my biggest concern. And I think it's a huge loss because everybody else steps up, and that means those guys who were at the bottom and you don't even see them in uniform sometimes on Sundays are going to have to dress and play this year. And hopefully they can remain pretty healthy, because I don't think they can afford to lose one of their first or second defensive linemen without Eddie Goldman. I'd forgotten all about Mufasa as the nickname, and thank you for bringing that up. I happen to be wearing my Hakuna Matata T-shirt today because I need perfect. To remind myself sometimes that no worries for the rest of your days. I got to tell myself that every now and again. Today's one of those days.
Yeah, I mean, we all have those moments where you have to kind of settle back in and do that. Or, you know, I like being in Costa Rica, pura vida, you know, pure life, like trying to enjoy all this stuff that's in front of us. The White Sox made that difficult for me last night.
Jeez.
They made it really difficult for
that
me.
Was the ugliest win of the year, unless I missed one that was worse than that.
Loss,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, it, loss.
Yeah.
Yes.
You take that as an ugly win. Yeah, no, it was the worst loss of the year. But I was curious, Lawrence, it was the thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, when the Cubs were rolling, Joe Maddon would always talk about flushing those games. Like, oh, it's easy. You just you flush that. It's not representative of who we are. It was an off night. They happen in baseball. I was curious if they had played well enough this year. They were 17-2 going into that game against the Pirates, Tigers, and Royals. So, like, that is clearly an aberration performance against a bad team. Was it easy for you to flush, or had they not proven it for long enough to you yet?
No, they clearly haven't proven it long enough, Danny. And it was hard for me to let go of it because some of the things have been there. Like, this isn't the first time that we've seen, while him being an incredible framer, and I did a whole video on Twitter about how great of a framer Grandal is, defensively, he's not good. And it's a weird thing to say about a guy that steals strikes for pitchers, that he's not a good defensive catcher. You had that mental lapse on the relay a couple weeks ago where he's looking in the dugout as the ball's coming home and a run scores. There's some issues there for me. And with Madrigal not running the base, like not even going, a rookie going through a stop sign?
Well, that's the one, right? Like that's the one that you're not Javi Baez. Like, you don't have the pedigree. Like, if you go against the coach's signal, you have to be right 100% of the time.
Right. I mean, I know that they sat him because of some defensive stuff a couple of weeks ago when he had a horrible day at second base. I can't while everyone's scouting report on Robert, like all the hyperbole about Robert has been spot on, a lot of the stuff that people said about Madrigal, the hit tool is definitely there and he makes contact. But some of the other stuff where he was going to be the smartest player on the field, and I've already seen evidence to the contrary that has me a little concerned about what happens when these games get some higher stakes. You had him running through the stop sign yesterday, and you also had him trying to advance to third on a ball hit to the left side. Like, this is baseball 101 type stuff that you can't have happen.
We are WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. No, obviously it doesn't excuse any of it, but I was wondering how much it was lingering. Like, I thought what Stoney said as the game wrapped was right. Like, they've won games that they probably should not have won, and they've achieved more earlier than people expected them to, but they are not a great team yet, and so they're going to lose games that they really shouldn't lose. It's the nature of a young team competing for the first time, and it's the nature of the sport. So if there have just been so many more positives than negatives that, and obviously I don't have a rooting interest, but it didn't strike me as a game that, like, that was ugly, you haven't had many of them this year. Should be relatively easy to bounce back from and come back and win the series.
Yeah,
like
I'd
be surprised if it lingered.
That was a bum pitcher they faced last night, too, and it took them until the fifth inning to scratch. Musgrove.
Well, and then other questions come up. Like, what's Jimmy Cordero doing out there? Like,
well, he gets used a ton.
That's true. He is everyday Jimmy. But
I feel like every time I'm in
a
seeing him, like, that guy's always there.
It just so like all the things. Like all the things kind of came up in the game where it's like, oh man, here's a pitcher that you're hoping goes deeper into the game because your bullpen is overused. And he doesn't. He doesn't go deeper into the game. And it looked like he was slated to go six or maybe seven with the way that he was pitching early on. So that question of the third starter comes back up. And you're like, he's got the stuff, but is he going to be able to really give you some length in games where you need to give length? Then you have base running. And Texter is right dead on where another bad base running thing that Madrigal had earlier this season ended him up on the IL. So you have that playing itself out. You had two leads that were good leads where you have a two-run lead going to the bottom of the eighth against a team that's not very good, and you're not able to hold on to it. You have bad defense from the catcher that's not the better of the two defensive catchers. And at the end of it, like the fly ball that he missed in the dugout, like that was the pop-up that Grandal missed in the dugout. Mm-hmm. That was the one I was like, oh, no, like it's going to hurt them. But at the end, I don't care what weird angle that you're at. And Cordero could have given him a better toss on that play. You have to catch the ball.
From 5 feet away, though, that's a terrible throw. It's on both of them for me. I guess I would start with the pitcher, though, more than the catcher. You're 5 feet away. You can't be making that guy reach from 5 feet. That was a tough catch.
But
they gave him an error on that, too, right?
After you already missed the lazy pop-up in the dugout, you got to be hyper-aware. And that's an opportunity for an all-star player to make a play. And all you have to do is catch the ball. There's no opportunity there to try to throw to first. The play's happening too slowly. So you have to make sure, is my foot on the plate, and can I locate the ball? I would have even preferred if he reached out with his bare hand instead of his glove hand. Like, that's the type of thing that was driving me insane yesterday.
When was the last time you purchased a baseball glove?
I actually bought one this summer.
How much did you spend? A catcher's mitt?
No. I have my catcher's mitt. Like, I did the whole thing last night where I was actually crouched, well, semi-crouched, to show framing on you. It's on the Twitter.
How'd that feel?
It didn't feel good when I got up, and it is expressed in the video, Danny. At the end of it, I'm just like, oh, my knees hurt. And I was on one knee doing it, too. But I donated like all of my fielder's gloves a long time ago, and I was just thinking about it, like, you know, if I wanted to just play catch, like I don't like to play catch with my mitt. It's just a little bit cumbersome. So I went and got myself a Wilson, an A700, and just have had it around. I've been breaking it in all summer.
Okay. Because I haven't purchased one in a long, long time, and I need one because I recently played catch with a buddy now that my shoulder is fixed, and it had been a long time since I'd done that, and I have the itch. I mean, it's fun. It's just very therapeutic to go out there and not crank it up at the age of 59 by any stretch, but I need a new glove. And I went to a big chain last night because Patrick, my son, needed some things. And we go to Dick's Sporting Goods. And I was floored. I should have been expecting this.
You were overwhelmed?
$279 for the outfielder's glove that I didn't buy it. I'm thinking, I don't know how often I'm going to do this. Probably once more this summer, and I'll never do it again. And Parkins was right when I bought one of those golf ball retriever tools
that was the worst purchase.
I had to have it. I went there specifically. That was the only reason I went to Dick's Sporting Goods that night, was to buy. I had to have it that night. The next golf ball I retrieve from a pond with it will be the first, because I don't keep it in the bag and I never take it with me when I go trespass on the ponds around here and go fishing. It always stays in the garage, but I had to have it. But
like the Venn diagram of people that fish golf balls out of ponds and then take metal detectors looking for coins on beaches is just a perfect flat circle. Like, it's just, you don't want to be either of those guys.
Mac, let me ask you to do a little bit of recon, and then I'll let you guys get on with your show. When you were at Dick's Sporting Goods, did they have bikes?
I think they have bikes, but I did not notice them last night.
Because there's like a bike shortage right now. It's hard to find a bike these days.
Are you in the market for a new one?
I'm looking to get a new bike.
What about bike stores? Hmm. Like there are cycling.
Yeah, there still are some stores. I got several. Well, you're not that far away. There's one right off of 8094 on Ridge Road in Highland, Ridge Cyclery. A good buddy of mine owns it, Jeff Herrick. Tell him I sent you. He's a score listener. He'll square you up if you're interested. That's only 25 minutes for you.
Yeah, that's easy. I can put the bike in the car and come back. That's super easy for me. But I'm telling you, like, you look at some of these places, like the amount of money that people are asking for bikes now, there's some gouging going on, folks.
Yeah, I think when I bought the one that I probably 7-8 years ago, I think I spent $500 on it. But this $279 for a baseball glove, oh my God, are you serious? Really?
Yeah, you're not getting an ROI on that, Mac. I don't mean to be an ageist, but you're not getting $300 worth of use out of that glove at your age.
No, find yourself an $80 mitt. There's a ton of them, and you'll be good to go. Like this A700 that I bought is going to be perfect for my needs of playing catch, like when I call my buddy Matt Lazzarato and head out to the suburbs and try to relive the glory days. It'll be perfect for that. And that's all you need. You don't need to spend $300. Next thing you're going to be telling me is you're going to spend $400 on a new TPX bat or something like that.
Hey, Lawrence, I saw Mac's garage in person for the first time this summer. He has two of everything at his house. So it's the upset of the century that in that garage there isn't an old baseball glove. That is legitimately flooring to me.
Yeah. I would have thought that there was one hiding underneath a couch or
you know
something.
What? Exactly. I left it in the basement of a house I moved out of many, many years ago. My favorite glove, my Cesar Cedeno outfielder's glove from the mid to late 70s. I loved that glove. I love what it represented, my paper route and working for a living when I was 13 years old. And I loved everything about it, but I left it on Clough Street in the basement, along with a typewriter my mother gave me for my graduation 6 months before she died. So it's always leave them laughing, Lawrence. But yeah, I just I don't have the glove. Danny's right. I got two of everything, except I have no gloves. And
that is shocking.
I know. I can't find my hockey gear either. I don't know where the hell my hockey gear is at.
Get it out of the ice soon?
Yeah, definitely don't go buy new hockey gear. Because,
no.
I mean, come on.
No,
because you know
no.
that's going to be a grip right
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, a good pair of skates is $3. A good pair of hockey skates is $300.
Well, Lawrence,
I had no problem with the glove. I had no problem with Gary Payton.
We've got a football hour of guests in the 3 o'clock hour. Brian Billick at 3. Bruce Gradkowski is going to talk to us about quarterback battles and backups and controversies at 3:40. And then our old buddy Len Casper at 4 o'clock. So
all right,
we'll find
man.
Out what
Have
else is in Max
show.
Garage too.
That sounds like a segment to me, folks. That sounds like,
if not an hour, given how we can stretch something. Lawrence, have a good day, my man. Here is Chris Tannehill.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.